It is Friday. The sun is out. It is Pride weekend. It's going to be hot. There's so much going on all throughout the Twin Cities. One of the reasons I invite you to sign up for my newsletter is that every Friday morning in your inbox, I send you some of the segments that we enjoyed the most this week. I send you some of my food writing, and I send you a list of fun things that you could do over the weekend. This week, you could go to Top the Tater Days. You could go to Sauerkraut Days. You could go to Pride Weekend, of course. I'm going to go to the Minnesota Aurora final home season game tomorrow night, match out at TCO Stadium in Eagan. Tonight, I'm going to Cabaret at the Guthrie. It's summer. There's so much going on. I want you to be a part of all of it. You can just search DeRussia on Substack, if you're on Substack and subscribe, or you can go to my website, jasonderussia.com, and you can sign up there. Twins pregame starts at 5:30. D Rush Hour news headlines starts now.
Now, time to get you caught up on some of the biggest stories of the day. These are the DeRush Hour headlines.
Good evening. Our top story.
This just in.
Our top story.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin with the lead.
And our top story is Melissa Hortman, Mark Hortman, lying in state. The first time, as Laura reported, a woman has had that honor. Usually it's former governors or U.S. senators or other high-ranking public officials. And Melissa Hortman, as the former House Speaker and DFL House Speaker, shot and killed, along with her husband, Mark, in their Brooklyn Park home. Accompanied in a very emotional way by their golden retriever, Gilbert, who was also shot and then later euthanized. The headline is going to be that the former president attended the memorial and paid his respects in the Capitol Rotunda, Joe Biden in the Twin Cities, in a truly classy, classy move. But I am struck by the ordinary Minnesotans who lined up around the Capitol today to walk in and say thank you. And say thank you. It has been incredibly emotional to see all of the golden retrievers. I have to admit, my first reaction when they said that Gilbert was going to also be in the Rotunda lying in state was a little bit of like, come on, man. Like, really? And yet it has been so touching because there is something about the fact that not only did this monster try to terrorize us as a state and terrorize Democratic elected officials, and I mean small d Democratic and big d Democrat elected officials, but that he'd shoot a dog. There is something about that. In court today, this alleged monster claimed that he wasn't able to sleep in the Sherburne County Jail. The sheriff has refuted this, but I will say this. I hope he can't sleep. I hope he can't sleep. Next in the D Rush Hour news headlines, a story making big news all around the nation, is the Supreme Court. In a flurry of decisions today, they have handed a major victory to all presidents. President Trump, in a practical sense, gets a win. But every president of the last, well, of the 2000s for sure, has been complaining about the fact that federal judges have the ability to shut down almost everything that they are doing. And in fact, in the Supreme Court opinion, Justice Amy Coney Barrett said that by the end of the Biden administration, nearly every major presidential act of that administration had been immediately blocked by a federal trial judge somewhere around the country. Joe Tamburino is our legal analyst. He's a criminal defense attorney. He has been examining the real impact of this, because for the Trump administration, this will allow them to have a wholesale change in how our nation grants citizenship, and something that is called birthright citizenship. Joe, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me on, Jason. Yes, that's absolutely right. Because what's happening here is you have one federal judge, well, specifically one in Massachusetts, one in Maryland, and one in the state of Washington, who says we're going to stop the administration's executive order, and stopping it will go nationwide. And this has been a complaint by Democrats and Republicans. It happened against President Biden, and it's happening a lot against President Bush, President Trump.
Yeah, we've seen this. We've seen this for a while. It's always struck me as ridiculous that some random judge from one of the many federal districts can absolutely stop a president and set a nationwide policy. It doesn't make any sense to me.
That's correct. So what that is called an injunction. Usually an injunction involves just the parties. For instance, if WCCO radio station said we're going to sell to Acme, and Jason, you said, wait a minute, I'm going to be harmed because I'm going to lose my job, and I think this sale is a violation of FCC rules, you get an injunction. But that only applies to you and WCCO, not KSTP or a radio station in Orlando or something like that. Whereas here, what's been happening is a federal judge will say, I have universal ability to stop this throughout the country. And that's what the Supreme Court said today. You don't.
Now, there is a practical effect to this because this case involved the birthright citizenship executive order, which the president wants to end that. Now, this, in a practical sense, could you end up with a different policy in every single, because I assume it's going to be lawsuit city at every single federal court district now, right?
That's absolutely right. And what you bring up is something that's public policy wise a problem, because even though the Supreme Court said one district court judge can't do this, the consequences in this situation are great, because here's what could happen. Say you have a federal judge in Minnesota, which is just one district. There are 94 federal districts in the country. We only have one. Wisconsin has two. So say one judge here says, you know what? I'm stopping President Trump from executing this executive order. So we're going to protect an immigrant's child for birthright citizenship. Okay, but say in Wisconsin, they don't do that. So what's going to happen? People are going to move to where they are protected. It makes sense. It's human nature. So you're going to have this panoply, this checkerboard system of some districts saying, we're going to protect this, other districts saying, we're not going to take part.
None of this would be an issue if Congress would actually pass some laws maybe once in a while and not leave this up to executive orders, right?
Well, you bring up another good topic, which is Congress all the time never fails, does nothing when it comes to these types of issues. And they always kick the can down the road and then wait for a district court, federal court, the Supreme Court to make decisions for them. So it's quite true that Congress could have some part in delineating how we go through this in the future with birthright citizenship.
Yeah. Oof. It's going to be a mess for a little while, though, right?
It's going to be a complete mess, because think about it. One state could be split, or your big states that have many districts like Texas, New York, Florida, California. You could have all these different rules.
Very good. Joe Tamburino, thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
Page two in the D-Rush Hour news headlines coming up in just a minute. It's our anniversary. 3 years of Drive Time with DeRusha in the can. Year four. Loading up. Make sure you give us a follow on YouTube. You can watch our interviews in studio and watch Dan freak out when I forget to say the name of a sponsor. Find us at WCCO Radio on YouTube. D Rush Hour News headlines, page two. What moments and spots, if you were creating a map of Minnesota, what moments and spots would you put on that?
Minnesota is one of the best places to live in the entire country.
Whoa. Man, A.J. Hilton really going hard, huh? One of... Do you think, like, has local news pandering reached an all-time high? Like, I thought I was the king of pandering. But honestly, this next generation... I mean, it's fine. It's good. Is it one of the best places? One of doing a lot of work there, right? I digress. Pioneer Press's Molly Guthrie writing about the North Star story map. I think that's such an interesting idea. American Institutes of Architects, Minnesota, along with the Historical Society, funded by one of those legacy grants from the Historical Society. So some of the things on the map. drinking a cherry Coke and reading the comics at Lang's Fountain in Grand Marais. I don't know that I've ever been to Lang's Fountain in Grand Marais, but you read this story that's submitted. It's amazing. Classic soda fountain. Pretty cool stuff. How about one of my favorites, visiting the horses at the Rose Warner Coliseum at the State Fairgrounds? That's on the map. And then Victor's. Victor's 1959 Cafe, which belongs on the map for sure, because you say this is one of the first kind of major Cuban restaurants that we had in Minnesota. Pretty cool project. They're asking people to share their own stories of built spaces. So the idea is celebrating architecture and celebrating the power of story that comes with architecture. It's called the North Star Story Map. It's at northstarstorymap.com. Giant slides on there. Got to have the giant slide. St. Paul Corner Drug, the old soda fountain there. A lot of soda fountain. I feel like we could find other spaces that are meaningful besides. How much time are you guys spending at the soda fountain? It's 2025. Like, the era of soda fountains was at least 50 years ago. I'm just saying. Instead of a first job, two Twin Cities teens started a hot dog cart.
Hot dogs here!
This is such a nice story by Lincoln Roach. Now, I gave Lincoln some grief because he had to write a story about like a couple of people getting married, like a People magazine style, like this reality star who got married. This way better. He's an intern. We should have Lincoln on. I feel like I talk about him more than any other reporter at the Star Tribune. So this story is really cool. These kids, Vigo and Sev. Like, clearly mom and dad have to have a couple of bucks, right? Like, if you're naming your kids Sev and Vigo, and you're driving to, I think they drove to Indiana to get this hot dog cart, because most carts aren't, like, the health department wouldn't approve them. So anyway, they made, like, a relish, like a pickle relish in their home, and everybody thought it was good. And so they're 13 and 15 now, and they got a hot dog cart. It's called the Relish Brothers. You can go see them in New Brighton this weekend if you want to. They'll be at Paddle North today. They're there today and tomorrow. When you see somebody on their phone out in public, do you take a little peek?
That was rude. That was pretty rude.
You gotta watch it there. New York Times writing about privacy screens. Have you ever thought about this, Dan? Like, you're out, you used to ride the bus, but you're at a Twins game, you're on your phone.
Yep.
And the algorithm, like, a lot of what we see on our phone is not an active choice by us.
Sure.
It's the algorithm serving it up.
Yeah.
And so if the algorithm serves up, let's be honest, like, there are things in my algorithm that my kids give me a little bit of grief about the fact that.
What kind of things, Jason?
Well, I'm very into fitness.
Oh, okay.
So
why would they give you grief about that, Jason?
Sometimes, perhaps, you see like a fetching
influencer?
Female fitness influencer.
I see.
And I'm like, well, I knew that woman before she became that.
Of course.
For example.
Yeah.
I should really get a privacy screen on my phone.
Let people enjoy the show.
Pretty interesting, right? You're out in public, but so you assume you have no privacy, yet it's kind of weird to have people looking at your phone. They were popular with doctors and therapists looking at sensitive stuff, but now they're becoming more popular with anybody.
Matt Gaetz might want to invest in one of those.
I get it. Are we all becoming the equivalent of professional sports coaches where you're like, when they go and have their little meeting on the mound and everybody's covering their mouths, like there's going to be some sort of trade secret. They have the pitch com. Why do they cover their mouths? Coaches, Matt. Coaches are the weirdest people out there, don't you think? That's it for us. That's the D-Rush Hour News headlines. Dan, congratulations. We made it. 3 years together.
Has it been that long?
I mean, I thought you would go the other direction with that comment. Feels like 20.
It's been amazing. Here's the three more.
Thank you for everything. And thank you guys for listening. It's been a blast. We'll start. Well, I guess this is year four. We're on it. Here come the Twins. See you Monday.